सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ Last time we met, we saw verse 9. Machitta madgat pranaha, bodhayanta parasparam, kathayantascha mam nityam, tushyanti cha ramatim cha. Machitta, we said, machitta means the mind in me. So one aspect of it is the ta, takar, I told you on the word. If you play with the word chitta, it's chit. And then plus a full ta, the ta represents the objects of the world. So when you remove that ta, means when you remove the objects of the world from your mind, you fulfill the condition of machitta. The other thing is mind is the seat of emotions. So every emotion which comes should be understood to have come from the supreme reality, from the substratum. Intellect. When we make correct choices, when we have memory, I give you the example, suddenly if you remember something which is useful to you, then basically any internal and external objects, internal objects are thoughts and external objects are objects, they must not disturb us and they must always remind us of the supreme reality. So even if it is a good situation or a bad situation, we must thank the Lord, and bad situation, we must say, okay, Lord, give me the strength to bear this. So basically when the mind and intellect are constantly thinking of the Lord, matgat pranaha, pranas are controlling the physiological functions in the body. So when all our body is functioning normally, remember the Lord, because the pranas are dependent on the supreme reality as well. And then when there are mahatmas who are constantly thinking of the Lord, they talk amongst parasparam, amongst each other, they only talk about the supreme reality. Bodhayanta, I told you, coming from Buddha Dhatu, to know. So that is their talk will be on the yoga sthiti. And kathayanta means katha, so they will talk of the stories of the Lord. So if they're talking about the stories of the Lord, then it has to be vibhuti, because there is no story about the substratum. It is just silence. What can there be a story? But when he does his leelas, you know, Krishna leelas, and when they are talking about that, then they are talking about the vibhuti yoga. And nityam, mam nityam. Nityam goes with bodhayantaha and kathayantasya. So constantly. So they are reveling in the supreme reality constantly. So they do not get influenced by anything that is happening outside. They do not make an effort. You know, some people make an effort to see the news so I can, you know, talk about it. They're not interested. The reason is they know it is all an illusion. What is there to talk about the illusion? They know that, right? We think it is real. That's why now elections today. So everybody is like talk, you know, all hyper. I have to watch and see what the election results. Means you have given that much reality to it. Is anybody talking about the dream that they had last night? Nobody's talking. Nobody talks about an illusion. But when you think it is real. So when that reality reduces, then the reality about the supreme reality will increase. And that's what you would be talking about, because whatever you think is real, you'll talk about that. And then tushyanti, they are always content in their reveling. Contentment, I told you, is not like having more of everything, but whatever is there to be happy in that. That's contentment. And then such people, tesham, such people, satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam, when they constantly do my bhajan, means when they constantly remember me, not that 24 hours we'll be singing bhajans, but in our mind we will be remembering him with love, with devotion, priti purvakam. Because you see, there was Kans and Ravana and all, they also thought of him, but out of fear, out of hatred, out of jealousy, Shishupal, whatever, right? So that is not the idea here. at the end, Bhagwan will give them liberation too. But this is not what we are talking. That's why Bhagwan is qualifying it with love, with devotion. Like, you know how we think about our children, our grandchildren, etc., etc. Then to those people, dadami buddhi yogam tam. I give them this buddhi yoga. And I told you there are two words, buddhi and buddhi yoga. Buddhi is that which takes you extroverted, which will make you go towards the world. Buddhi yogam is that yuj dhatu, to join, that which joins you with the supreme reality. So when in every situation, in every object, in every person, you can bring the supreme reality into it, then that is buddhi yoga. And that Bhagwan says, I give it to them. Yena mamu payantite. So I give them this buddhi yoga. Question arises, why are you doing it? What is your ulterior motive? Then we read this verse 11, if I remember correctly. Tesham eva anukampartham. Tesham eva. Eva. This way, I give them buddhi yoga only out of compassion and nothing else. And then their ajnana, their ignorance born out of tamas. Tamas is ignorance. I remove nasha. I destroy that ignorance in their mind. Atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhaswata. By lighting this light, this lamp of knowledge in their mind. So this jnana deepena is similar to buddhi yoga, where the light is there, where their mind is now constantly turned towards the supreme reality. If you were to take this simile, then this lamp of knowledge, not that physically there is lighting a lamp inside of a mind, it is not like that. The mind, even chapter 6 had this simile, similar simile of the lamp. So the mind is the lamp here. And in that lamp, if you were to light a wick, we need ghee or oil. That is the devotion that that person has for the Lord. So the mind has to be filled with devotion. Then there has to be a wick in it for a lamp. So the wick is the shat sampati, means the adhikaritva, means the qualification of that student. So he must have devotion, but he also must have enough viveka, vairagya, shat sampati, and mokshatvam from tattva bodh. So that is the wick. Because you see, if only oil is there and there's no wick, you cannot light a lamp on that oil. A antenna is required, a wick is required. So that wick is there. Now that wick, to burn, it needs oxygen, it needs air, little bit of air. That air is constant thinking about the Lord. That is what it signifies. So there is devotion in the mind. There is the viveka, vairagya, shat sampati. So there is the qualification is there for the person. Such a person is constantly thinking of the Lord, and then the Lord will light that lamp. Means what? That lamp will automatically get lit. No, Bhagwan is not coming and lighting a, you know, matchbox and then lighting. Not like that. But then that lamp will be lit. Now, a lamp will go away, will be doused in the winds. Air is required. But if there is huge winds, now these winds are of likes and dislikes and desires, right? There are likes and dislikes, and if there are a lot of desires in the mind, then that lamp will not be lit. So obviously, if this person already, he has fulfilled machitta madgat pranaha, and then because he has fulfilled that, Bhagwan has given him buddhi yogam. So chances are that his desire is only for the Lord and not for objects of the world. So already we said machitta, that takara is removed. So objects of the world are not important to him anymore. So it would be rare for him to have these winds of desires. If he does, then that lamp cannot be lit. But it's rare, because he's talking, Bhagwan here is not talking about an ordinary seeker. He's talking about a great devotee. The one who has already done machitta and madgat pranaha, or already amongst themselves, when they're only talking about the supreme reality, either about the yoga sthiti or about the vibhuti sthiti. So such people, and they're already content. They're content in talking about the Lord. So there is no question of having desires for objects. So that wind, chances are there's not going to be any wind. there is only going to be that air, that peaceful, calm air of devotion. You know, when you walk out nowadays, spring, you know, the crisp autumn air is there. So there's air, but not like this blowing wind. So that's what he means. Jnana Deepena Bhaswata. So that's what I do for these people. Okay? All right. Now, starting from the next verse, 13 to about 17 or 18 or something, 17, I believe, there is Arjuna's, Arjuna is now going to say things. Okay? So we will see that Arjuna is going to be praising him from 11 onwards. No, 11 is done. 12 onwards, yeah, 12 onwards. Arjuna Vaja. And we'll read and then we'll see why he's saying all that. Arjuna Uvacha Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adideva Majam Vibhum. Arjuna said, you are the supreme Brahman, the supreme abode, the supreme purifier, eternal, divine Purusha, the God of all gods, unborn, omnipresent. So now Arjun has started praising the Lord. And when we look at these words, what they mean, and then we'll see a little bit more. Param Brahma, Param Supreme. So when he's saying you are Param Brahma, Paramam, see this Bhavan word is you, huh? Because you'll say, where is the you? This Bhavan, Bhavan means you, the last word in the first line. So Bhagwan, Bhavan, thou, actually not, I shouldn't say you, thou, you know, thou art Param Brahma. Is there an Aparam Brahma? Yes, there is. Because see, he is very alert. Now in chapter 7, already Bhagwan said there is a lower and a high, my lower prakriti and my higher prakriti, right? So in that, what did he say? This Ashtada Prakriti is my lower Prakriti and the Turiya state is my higher Prakriti. Now when Arjuna is calling him Param Brahma, means he knows who he is. He's not a form of Krishna. He's not my friend. He's not my brother-in-law, but he is that supreme reality. And he is in and through the creation. That also he said. So Aparam, he knows that Aparam is there, but this is Param Brahma. So that's why he is referring to him as the Supreme Brahman. So now all these words tell us that Arjuna has now understood who he really is. So far it may have been, oh, he's a friend or guide, philosopher, whatever, but now he knows that he's the Supreme Reality. So Param Brahma means the Supreme Reality, and I know that you are in and through the creation, you are in the Vibhuti, but you are not that Vibhuti. If we have to know you, we have to know his yoga sthiti. One thing I'll tell you, if you really want to reach Bhagwan, you have to know him in his yoga sthiti only. There is this Aparam Brahma is not, doesn't work. Okay. Knowledge. Param Dhamma, Param Abode, the Supreme Abode. Supreme here means where there is nothing more than that. The highest. You know how we say good, better, best. So we say the best, you know, or Olympics, the gold medalist. Now he's the best. Now there is nobody in that field who is better than him. So that's why Param Dhamma is abode. So you are the final abode. You are the supreme abode. I know that I have to reach you, right? Supreme abode is what? Home. I have to reach my home. And you are the supreme. So he's referring to him as Param Dhamma. Pavitram, pure, purifier. Pavehe bhayat trayati iti pavitram. Pavehe bhayat trayati. Pavehe is the weapon of Indra. That is what pavi is. Indra has a weapon which is the thunderbolt. You know, it's very powerful. And you can see its power because that thunderbolt was hurled by him at Bal Hanuman. And that thunderbolt hit his chin, and that's why he has this little cleft here, Hanumanji, right? So it's a very powerful weapon, and that shows the power of Hanumanji, because that thunderbolt can kill anybody, but it didn't kill Bal Hanuman. It only dented him. So it's a very powerful weapon that is made out of, it'll come, it's made out of the bones of some rishi. It will come later, so I'm not going to go into it. But that is what Pavitram is. So he's saying, you are the one who will relieve us from all fears. Now, fear arises out of what? Always fear arises out of otherness. If somebody walks through the door and if I know that person, it's my relative, it's my friend, will I fear? Suddenly some new person walks in, I'm like, oh my God, who is he or she, right? So fear is created by otherness. Now, when we realize our identity with the Supreme, there is only the Supreme, there is no other. Where will there be fear? There cannot be fear because it is one without a second. If I can realize that, there will be no fear because there will be no otherness. Fear is there in our mind because of otherness. Okay, because I consider you to be different than me. Now I have to fear you. I have to means I will fear you or you will fear me. Oh, this person is different from me. He or she can do something to me. So he says you're the greatest. Purifier means you will relieve us from all fears. Paramam. Pavitram Paramam. So you are the greatest. Paramam, again, word he's using. So three times he has used. There are eight adjectives here to Bhagwan. So first is Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, and then Paramam Pavitram. Okay, so that's three, Pavitram. Purusham Shashvatam. So this Purusha Shashvata, Purusha, one break of the word is Puri Shayanat Purushaha. But here we should not take it. Puri Shayanat, Puri means village, not eating Puri. Not eating, but Puri means village. So the reason he is called is Puri, Shayanat means to sleep. The one who sleeps or the one who resides in the city of nine gates, chapter 4. Okay, so that is not the Purusha that he's talking about, but because he's saying Shashvatam. He has added this, means eternal. This Jiva, Jivatma, which is Purishayana. When Purusha is used for Jiva, it becomes Purishayana. The Jiva, which is within us, will end. The Jivahood will end upon realization. So he says Purusham, but he also qualifies it with Shashvatam, which means eternal, means you are that Supreme Purusha. Means you are that Supreme Reality. You are that which is beyond para and apara. Where in chapter 7, he said, there is my lower nature, there is my higher nature, and then there is my highest nature. Or in chapter 15, he will say, Dvavimau Purushau Loke. Purushottamam, he says, I am Purushottama. So the two Purushas are Jiva, Ishvara, and then I am the Uttam Purusha. So Jiva is good, Ishvara is better, and then Uttam. So it's Uta, Uttara, and then Uttam. So he's the Uttam Purusha. So that's what he's referring to here. Purusham Shashvatam Divyam. Divi. Divyam means divine. And divine is that which requires no support. So he says that we all require support. We are supported by the Supreme Reality. That's why we are existing. We are supported by not only us, computer, objects, photos, anything that is in the house. Everything is supported by that existence principle, but you are the one, you are divine, so you do not need any support of anybody. That means you are a causeless cause. See, he has understood all this. That's why he's saying, he's referring to Bhagwan with these adjectives. You are a causeless cause. I know this. Adideva, you are the original God, means you are the first number one supreme. Adideva. Ajam, unborn. So again, causeless cause, because we always say, oh, what is your cause? Okay, my father, my father, my father. You can go on like that, but you do not have. I am only father, mother, everything he says, it is me only. Vibhum, vibhum is vividham bhavati iti vibhum. So by calling him vibhum, he says, I know you are only one, but you are now appearing as many. Okay, so that's vibhum. So what is he indirectly saying? That you are only appearing as all these objects that I'm seeing. That means you are only, so that also he has understood. That's why he's calling him vibhum. The reason he's going to be praising Bhagwan now, all this. And the reason for that is he's creating an atmosphere for a question which he wants to ask. So, you know how I don't think you know it, but anyway, let me ask you. Now, if you say like that, how that the one who is going to be answering will feel? What is this? If you think you don't ask, oh, you know what? I know you have the knowledge, and I know you are so great, and I know you did this, and you did a PhD in this and that. I want to ask you a question. Now, how does that person feel? This is what Arjun is doing. Arjun is praising him, telling him that I know who you really are, and therefore you can answer my question. Because if you only have become the many, then you should be able to tell about the many. No, you only have become the many. Because he's going to ask him about his vibhutis. That is a question that is coming up. But to prepare that background, he has now started saying all these things. Okay, this vibhum word, I was thinking about it today. And then I just thought that even for us, see, one is vibhum in the objective world. So one, he has become all these many objects, which I see. But you know, within ourselves, if we think, there is only one jiva within us, right? There's only one jiva. But that jiva only becomes the speaker. The jiva only becomes the seer. The jiva only becomes the hearer. Only one is becoming vibhum. So within subjectively also you can experience that. That there is only one. There is only one Jaya. Now she's speaking, or she can listen, or she's seeing, or she's, you know, breathing, tasting, eating, smiling. So only that one is becoming vibhum. Vibhidam bhavati. So you cannot say that the one who is speaking is Jaya, but the one who is seeing is not Jaya. You can, or the one who is listening is not Jaya. You cannot say that, right? It's only one. So that vibhum word, you can take it objectively or subjectively. The next, ahus tvam rishayas sarve devarshi naradastata asito devalo vyasah swayam chaiva bravishime. All the rishis have thus declared, you as also the Devrishi Narada, so also Asita, Devala and Vyasa, and now the same you yourself say to me. So what have they thus declared? The verse number 12, that you are Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Purusha Shashvatam, Pavitram, Paramam Pavitram, all these adjectives that he used. He says, not me, I am not saying this. All the rishis have said it. So means it's true. It has to be true. It's if I say something, but if I have a backing of, you know, other people, then obviously it's true. This is what he's saying here. As also, now he's giving names, as also Devarshi Narada has said that. Narada is a great devotee of Bhagavan Vishnu. Narad Bhakti Sutra is there. His greatest treatise on bhakti, which we have studied in Calgary before. So this Narada is there. So also Asita. Asita is a name. Asita, Devala and Narada names. But Asita, Sita means to stitch. And Asita means Asita, means not stitch. So these Asitas, they are interpreted as seers, drishtas. They are seers, and they kind of are of the Sankhya philosophy. They are the Sankhyans. They are referred to as Asita. Okay. Devala is also a rishi. Devala is one of the rishis who has written one of the smritis. See, there are many smritis. Manusmriti is the most famous, which we know, but there are other smritis also. And Devala is one of their authors. So in that smriti, he may have written about, he probably has written about Bhagwan. So Arjun knows all that. Arjun is a very learned person. We have to remember that, right? Even in the first chapter, when we studied the character of Arjun, he wasn't uneducated. He was a prince. So he was very learned. So he says that, and when he says all that Shastra, this will happen, that will happen, he knows Dharma Shastra. So he says Devala and Vedvyasa, Bhagwan, Bhagwan Vedvyasa, if you can take it as a person, or the power of speech, both. That's why we say Vyasapita, the Vyasapita, the person sits or stands at the podium and talks. It's also speech, can be taken as. So these are all these rishis, which are also saying the same thing that I have said. And you also have said that. Why? Because in chapter 7, you already said it, right? That I am that, the one who is beyond jiva, akshara, akshara, and then I'm beyond that. Okay, now next. Sarva metadritam manne yanmam vadasi keshava nahite bhagavan vyaktim vidur devana danavaha. I believe all this that you say to me as true, O Keshava, verily, O blessed Lord, neither the Devas nor the Danavas know your manifestation. So Keshava word is being used here. Keshava has got different interpretations, meanings. One is, of course, Ka standing for Brahma, Sha standing for Shiva, and Va standing for Vishnu. So all three deities, that is one. But Ka means knowledge and Ashava means rays. So here the meaning we should take is as rays of knowledge, because you are all knowledgeable. Why? Because all these manifestations are yours. So of course you know about your own manifestations. So you're very knowledgeable. So we take each word because it has different meaning. So in the context, we take the meaning. So here it can be taken as rays of knowledge. You can just take it as he's addressing Krishna as Keshava. But we have already said that Bhagavad Gita, every word will have some sort of meaning, some significance. So here it is, this is what it means. And he says, Sarvam etat dhritam manye. I think that all this is true. Like what I said, Paramam, Dhamma, Brahma, etc., etc. All that is true. And I also know that even the Devas and the Danavas don't know you. The Danavas are the Asuras and the Devas are the Suras. Now the Asuras are one, Asusu Ramante iti Asura. So they don't know only because they are so identified with the body that they don't have this concept of supreme reality, God, etc. The Devas also, if you remember Kenopinishad, the Devas went and, you know, Agni went and they all came back. So Deva, that's why they say heavens is a place of enjoyment. So the Devas are so busy enjoying that they really don't know who he is. This is what is meant here. That therefore, liberation is possible only from the mortal world. And therefore, Bhagavan always, in Bhagavad Gita, he has said, Mundaka Upanishad also we are studying now. Mundaka also, Shruti says, don't go for the heavens. Go for final liberation. So this is what he means here. That basically, he's preparing the grounds for asking his question. That is what he's doing. Okay, so he says, I believe it. I know that you are the supreme reality. And I also know that your manifestations are not known by even the gods and the asuras. Okay, and that those manifestations, I want you to tell me. This is what he's now going to come to, but we'll see that.
Swayamevatmanatmanam vetatvam purushottama bhuta bhavana bhutesha deva deva jagatpate.
More adjectives. Verily, you yourself know yourself by yourself. You know, see, if you think, wouldn't I be the best person to know myself? Right? What I am really inside, only I know. Na? Outside people might think that I am like this, like this, like this. But truly inside, I could be totally different. And only I can know that. So that's why he's saying, only you can know yourself. That's what he's saying. Oh, Purushottama, he's using the word Purusha Uttama. Purushottama is Purusha Uttama. I told you there is the Kshara and Akshara Purusha and the Turiya. So Uttama, that is one. Uttara and Uttam. So good, better and best. Jiva, Ishvara and then Purushottama. This Purushottama word will come in chapter 15. He says, you're the Uttama Purusha. I know that. You are not Ishvara and you are not Jiva. You are Uttama Purusha. Bhuta Bhavana, O source of beings. Okay, so O Purusha, the Supreme Purusha. Bhuta Bhavana is the source of beings, means what? Creator of this world. O Lord of beings, that is Bhutesha. Bhuta Isha. Isha, being. Bhuta here is beings, and beings is not only human beings, it is the all four. So there is the mineral world, the plant world, the animal world, and the human world. Plus, of course, the Devas and the Kinnaras and the all that. Seven worlds are up and seven worlds down. All that. Okay. Bhuta includes all that. Deva Deva. So God of gods. And then Jagatpati, ruler of the world. So there are four words that have been used here. So first is creator of the world in the second line. Okay, Swayamevatmanam, Atmanam Veta. So that you understood. Only you can tell about yourself. Who can tell? Devas don't know, Danavas don't know, mortals don't know. So who can tell us? You can tell. Okay, fine. And I know you are the creator of the world. So by saying creator of the world, we have seen this in Tattva Bodh. He is the Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karana. So he is the material, the efficient as well as the material cause. In the normal world, in our typical example of the potter and the pot, the potter is the efficient cause. He has the knowledge of making the pot. He is separate, and the pot is made out of clay. The clay is separate. So the pot, the Nimitta Karana, the efficient cause, is different from the material cause. And then he takes the material and he makes a pot. So this is the normal theory of creation for what we see, that the efficient cause is always different from the material cause. However, in creation, the material Bhagwan is the material cause as well as the efficient cause. There was once these scientists who challenged God. They said, God, we can do everything now, cloning and this and that and everything. You really can't take a break. And God said, sure, we'll just... one question, we'll just do one test, and you know, and then I will take a break. So they met, and God said, let's make a pot. And the scientist thought, oh, what's there? And he started picking up the clay, and God said, bring your own clay. Okay, so we can't. We can do anything, but really we can't do that. So creator is he himself is, because if you say that the material is different from the creator, then the question arises, where did the material come from? Who created the material? Then that way, again, there is no end to the questioning. So therefore it stopped, because he's the causeless cause. There is no cause. So the material also, and the example that Shruti gives is of the spider and the web. The spider brings out the web from his saliva and then takes it back in. And that is exactly how creation happens. It comes out of the creator, and in pralaya, it will go back into the creator. So creator of the world, indicating that you are the efficient and the material cause of the world. You are the controller, bhutesha, isha, controller. How does he become the controller? Think about it. Who is a controller? Who controls? One who controls, right? Simple meaning. What is the meaning of control? What is the meaning of power? Power or control means if something has been set in motion, means suppose if there is a king, or now there is our government, they have made a law, nobody can transgress that law. Okay? There are, of course, in our laws are transgressed all the time. There are criminals. That is a different matter. But now think of the universal law that Ishwara has created. So the sun is rising. Now, that's what I was thinking. Can you say that autumn? Okay, now don't come. Now it's already getting dark, right? Can we say don't become dark so early? Can we say please don't rise today? I want to sleep late, so sun don't rise. Can you tamper with the vital forces? That is what makes him the controller of the world. Because what he has set in motion, nobody can challenge, nobody can transgress. We can transgress our laws. Even things like law of gravity, we cannot transgress, right? Of course, hot air balloon and airplane and all. But in a normal sense, even that, if you throw something up, it will come down. But look at nature. We cannot control nature. We cannot say, okay, let the sun not rise. We cannot say let the sun shine for more time, less time. It is exactly planned. Sun will rise, the wind will blow, the fire will give heat, water will be, you know, cool. It's nature is cool. You cannot tamper with what Ishwara has set in motion. And that's why he controls. And that's why he's the controller. Okay. So controller of the world. God of gods. So he is the highest among all the deities, and the Taittiriya Upanishad says that all these deities are as though functioning out of fear. Taittiriya Upanishad says that. Therefore, he's the god, he's the king among the gods. Means even including Indra. Indra is considered the king of the heavens, but he is God. That's why in Bhagavad Puran, the story is where they wanted to pray to Indra, because Indra thought, oh, I'm the one that gives rains, and Bhagwan made him aware that no. You don't. I am the final controller. So that's why Deva, God of gods. So the gods don't have to get, it's like the gods are the ministers. each now political party, each minister has been given a particular portfolio, but the control is with the prime minister. Final control is always right. So that way, so that is God of gods. Jagatpate, Lord of the worlds. So obviously then, because he's in and through the world and he's controlling the world and he's being Antaryami, also one of the names of Ishvara is Antaryami, seated within our heart. He controls our movements, and that is the recognition that Madgat Pranaha. Remember that, you know, the one Pranavayu doesn't function properly, you're finished. Telling you. So that's why if everything is all proper, we have to say thank you, because anything can happen. So this is what he is praising the Lord. Now, Vaktum arhasya sheshena divyayatma vibhutayah yabhir vibhuti bhir lokam imam stvam vyapya tishthasi. You should indeed, without reserve, vaktum arhasya asheshena. That is the break of that first word. Without reserve. Ashesha means remaining. Ashesha means nothing remaining. Without reserve, tell me your divine glories by which you exist, pervading all these worlds. Now the question has come out. After that much of introduction, of that much of praise, now he has created an atmosphere. Of course, Bhagwan is not, you know, I don't know, in Marathi we say harbhara chaza, you know, chadaya usko, Hindi bolte hain, chadaya usko. Bhagwan is not going to get chadofied, Bombay language, but this is what he has done. He has created that atmosphere. He has praised Bhagwan so much that now Bhagwan cannot say, I don't know this. No, he cannot say. So now he asks his question. Now he says, now you tell me. Asheshena means without leaving even this much, nothing to be left out. Ara said, Divya Yatma Vibhu, your divine manifestations, your divine vibhutis, you tell me. So that the idea is so that when I look at your vibhuti, immediately I will remember you. This is the idea. This is the, it is a sincere question. It is not, see the question. Questions also are, there are three types of questioners, you know. Some people in a satsang, they'll ask a question just so that other people think, wow, I never thought of that question. Wow, you know, he knows so much. He's asking that question. That's one. Second is to see if the speaker knows, how much the speaker knows. That is the second type of people. They will ask questions to test the speaker. And the third ones are the genuine ones. That's Arjun. Like genuinely, I have a difficulty. So far, he has asked many questions in the Bhagavad Gita. And every Arjanat Arjun, the one who is straightforward, the one meaning of Arjun is straightforward. So he's a straightforward person. And he is asking out of genuine curiosity, Bhagwan, tell me your vibhutis. They are your vibhutis. So you yourself know yourself the best. And tell me so that whenever I look at any vibhuti and tell me without any, so you see now he has forgotten that there is a war there. They're standing on the battlefield. He's so engrossed in Bhagwan's speech that it's so nectary, it's so good. He will say that also. So he says, tell me all your vibhutis without, as if he had the whole day. See, that's the difference between an Upanishadic student and a Bhagavad Gita student. Upanishad are always in the forest. There is very peaceful atmosphere. So the guru will say, stay for 1 year. And then, you know, then if you want, you feel like asking questions, then you ask. Then if I feel like answering, I will answer. So there is no urgency at all. And the student there is much more qualified. He has already enjoyed the world and he has given up the world to go to the guru. So he has gone to the forest in search of the guru. Here the guru is right there in front of him, standing on the battlefield. And there is an urgency because there is a battle to be fought. And therefore, Bhagwan has condensed 108 Upanishads in 700 verses. And he's given him the capsule. You know, in capsule form, we get medicine so much concentrated. That's what he's giving. But Arjun, tell me in detail, what is the rush? Just keep telling me. This is what he's saying. So what do you want to know? Ya vibhutir lokam imam tvam vyapya tishta. Tishta, see, you're staying. You have pervaded. Vyapya is pervaded. You have pervaded this entire, because he already said vibhum. He knows. So Bhagwan, you have pervaded this entire universe, and then you are appearing as many, many forms. So you tell me all your forms so that I can understand in detail. And then whenever I look at any form, any manifestation, I will think about you. Okay, so it's a genuine question. You stay pervading. See, the reason we say Bhagwan is pervading everything in this universe is because we have already said that he himself is the material cause. See, if there is a cloth of cotton, a gold bangle, that bangle is entirely pervaded by gold, na? It's a gold bangle, right? A vase, a clay vase. It's a pot, but wherever you touch it, it is clay. So that way, Bhagwan being the material cause, he is pervading in and through the universe. Okay? And that is cannot be seen. What happens in case of a pot or a bag? See, where is our attention? Oh, what should I do with the pot? Where should I keep it? How should I put milk in it, water in it, yogurt in it? What should I do? So our attention is fixated on the form because it is useful. In the transactional world, lump of clay will do what to me? Nothing. I'll throw it out. But if that same clay is converted into a pot and given to me, immediately I'll have 100 uses. I can do so many things with it. So we are fixated in the form, and that's why we miss the substratum. But that is how Bhagwan is pervading all the things. By being the material itself, the material only is Bhagwan. So how it can be anything different? This is what he says, that you have tishtasi, you are staying, pervading the entire universe. How do I stay? Becoming the material, I'm staying. Bhagwan is staying, becoming the material. Okay? Now, katham vidyamaham yogim tvam sada parichintayan keshu keshu cha bhaveshu chintyosi bhagavan maya. How shall I, ever meditating, know you, O yogin? In what aspects of forms, O blessed Lord, are you to be thought of by me? This is what he's saying. Sada parichintayan. So he's used the word sada, means all the time, 24/7. And then pari is all around. So no matter where I look, at what time, I should be able to meditate on you. So no matter what, I might look at the ugliest scene or the most beautiful scene or a very wicked person or a very good person or whoever that I see, good situation, bad situation, parichintayan. So all around, always. So he's not saying in good situations, then I'll think about you. Nothing like that. Any situation can come. Katham vidyam aham yogim. How should I know you? Vidyam here means how should I have your knowledge? It means how should I know you? How should I know you so that constantly, no matter where I look, no matter where I see, no matter what I hear, what I taste, all the five sense organs, not just see. What I hear, maybe that's why we have that Om Bhadram Karnebhi Shunyama Devaha. Whatever I hear, it may be auspicious. Whatever I do may be auspicious, right? So how do I do this? Keshu keshu cha bhaveshu. Where all are you hidden? Which are the specific forms? Where are you? Tell me where you are so that by me, Maya is by me. By me, Bhagavan Maya. By me, Chintyosi Bhagavan Maya. By me, I will constantly be thinking about you. This is what he's saying. So tell me, how shall I know you? Tell me all your manifestations. Okay? 18. Now. Vistarenatmano yogam vibhutim cha janardana bhuya kathayatrap. Tirhi shunvato nasti memrutam tell me again in detail means he also understood. Bhagwan has told me, but now you go into details. Bhagwan told him already, you know, where you see all those virtues, that's me. Bhagwan told him. He says, no, no, now you tell me more. O Janardhan, of your yoga power and immanent glory. So yoga power is the yoga sthiti and immanent glory is the vibhuti, the manifestation. Immanent is that which can be seen. For I do not feel satisfied by hearing your life-giving and so nectar-like speech. So he says, Amritam, your speech is so nectar-like, so nectarine. It is so sweet that I do not feel satisfied. You need to tell me more. Janardana word is used for Bhagavan Krishna. It has got two meanings. One is Jana Ardana. You can break it as Jana Ardana or you can break it as Jana Ardana. Jana Ardana is destruction. Ardana is killing, destruction, nasha. That is Ardana. So Jana is people. So destruction of people, wicked people, which we see in Bhagavan's life, right from his birth, Putana, you know, the Shaktasur, and then Kauns, and then Shishupal, and so many people, right? So that is Jana, so killing of evil people. And Jana means Maya. Jana is the meaning is Maya. So you are the destroyer of Maya. What is Maya? Delusion, right? He was deluded. Arjun was deluded in the first chapter into thinking that he has to fight his grandfather and kill people, etc., etc. So he says, you are the destroyer. You can take it as you're the destroyer of Maya. So remove my delusion, or you're the destroyer of bad people. So basically remove my ignorance. So therefore Janardhan word has been used here. And Vistarenatmano Yogam. Vistar. Vistar is expanse. Like, you know, just tell me. Aram. Say, as if he forgot the war. He totally forgot the war. Says, I can't get enough of your speech. You know, when you're listening to a really good singer, you're like, oh, come on. Let's let it go on overnight. Let it go on like that. He says, I am not satisfied at all by what I have heard so far. Now you tell me in detail, without reserve. He said, Asheshena, don't leave out anything. No detail to be left out. Shunvato nasti me mritam. I am not satisfied at all. So your nectarine speech. Okay. Now the disciple has forgotten that there is a war, but can the teacher forget that there is a war impending? Right? He can't. It's Bhagwan. He's not going to forget. So what he says is, we're going to see 19, but from 20 onwards, then his teaching starts with the vibhutis, which we will take up next time. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Hantate Kathayishyami Divyayatma Vibhutayah Pradhanyatta Kuru Shrestha Nastyanto Vistarasya Me. The Blessed Lord said, alas, Hanta, alas, you know, so sad. Why? There's a war impending. Sorry, can't do. I will declare to you my divine glories, eminent in their prominence. See, there are two different words, and I'll come back to this. Oh, best of the Kurus, there is no end to the details of my extent. He said, Vistarenam. And Asheshena, these are the two words he used. So Asheshena, without leaving anything, and Vistarena, expanse, where you full expanse, 100% you tell me. Bhagwan is using the word Pradhanyatta. Pradhanyatta means the prominent ones, the important ones I will tell you. Because if I go into my Vistar, there is no end. We'll be here only. Till the end of Kalpa, we'll be here only. The war will be gone. Everything will be gone. So that's why Bhagwan remembers that, no, I don't have that much time. So he says, I can't tell you, asked for Vistar, but I'm going to do Pradhanya. So only the important ones I will tell, even those that are 75. Important ones, we are going to see 70, more than 73 or 75, something like that we're going to see. So he says, alas, you know, why alas? Because there's no time. We're standing on the battlefield. We're standing in between the two armies and the war is been already declared. Please remember that in chapter one, already Bhishmacharya had blown the conch. So the war has been declared. So, and we cannot, I cannot forget. You may forget it, but I cannot forget it. Okay. So my divine glories eminent in their prominence. So the main glories, which are imminent, which are seen, manifested. So that's why now he'll tell us, it'll come, you know, everything will come. What we see and then how it is to be related to him. oh, best Kurushrestha, you're the best among the Kurus, the Kuru clan. There is no end to the details. There's no end. That means what? We can go till Kalpanta, till the Kalpa ends also. If I keep on telling you, there'll be no end. Now from next 20, verse 21, right? 20. So from verse 20 to almost 40, 41, 42 is the last verse. So 20 more verses that he will give us all the details. Are there any questions?
Jayaji, can I ask you a question? So we were talking about how in every situation, good or bad, we have to think about the Lord. What if there's a situation is scary, that you are afraid? You said fear, God will remove. Knowing that there is no other, the fear will go. But just a routine example. Say it's a very, very snowy.
Even if you're afraid of something, right? Routine. See, fear will go when that is supreme realization. That is okay. But right now we are in duality. If you do Nama Japa, and also to remove fear, Hanuman Chalisa is a very Siddha mantra. Hanuman Chalisa, even if you don't know, see, Bhut, Pret, Pishach, Hanuman Chalisa, it comes. Because Hanuman Chalisa is a deity of strength. So what will remove fear is strength, right? Mental strength will remove fear. The stronger the mind becomes, the fear will be gone. So one way is, how do you make the mind strong? Is by purifying it. And how do I purify my mind? Is by removing likes and dislikes. As your mind becomes purified, what will happen is, because within that purified mind, which does not have as many likes, and the winds of likes and dislikes are not there, the divinity shines in there. And when that divinity shines, fear automatically reduces. You will not feel as much fear as you would have felt before when the mind purifies. Okay. Other way is devotion. You take the name of the Lord. If you can start chanting the name of the Lord immediately, your Ishta Devata, that is another way. So even what I do is, suppose if I have even a simple doctor's appointment or some test and I'm waiting there, I actually just keep on chanting the name of the Lord. You know, not that even I'm feeling fearful. I'm not. Just get into the practice of chanting his name. Because chanting the name of the Lord is purifying speech. Purpose of chanting, see, Bhagavad Gita chanting, when you do, they say Bhagwan takes Nama Rupa on your tongue. He takes the form of name on your tongue because he has spoken it. Now you are speaking it. He does. So that is one way. But if you want a mantra, then Hanuman Chalisa is a great one. And it takes only 5 minutes. And if you can't chant, you can take a tape and even listen to it. That will help. That will really help with fear that way. And then, of course, the final is knowledge that you're one with the supreme reality. So there's no, but that is a bit high. So at our level, you can try these things. Reduction of likes and dislikes, chanting the name of, and you know, get into the habit of chanting the name. So the minute you have 5 minutes, you're walking, you know, chant the name of the Lord. You're waiting for your doctor. You're waiting for, I mean, we go for appointments, we have to do any appointment, not doctor only, or just in the mind, just chant that way. That'll reduce fear.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other question?
Yeah, I have one question.
Yeah.
In daily life, how can we increase vairagya in day to day?
How can we what?
Vairagya.
Treat how or gain?
No. Gain. In daily life, how can we increase vairagya?
Oh, okay. Vairagya, dispassion, increases with viveka.
Okay.
Viveka is discrimination. Okay. See how vairagya comes is when our discrimination is perfect. One example is I go to somebody's house and they have made my favorite dish, you know, rasmalai or payasam or whatever. And I'm really excited. Wow, that's my favorite dish. And, you know, I get to eat it. Except the little child comes and tells me, you know what, auntie, I saw a lizard fall in that payasam. Okay. Now, all of a sudden, there is discrimination, right? Because it may be my most favorite dish. But now, if that is what that child is telling, when child never lies, if he saw that, suddenly I'm very dispassionate. Dispassion will only come with viveka, with discrimination. And the discrimination that we need in this life is that this entire world is an illusion. That is a sat asat vivek is extremely important. You must immediately know what is real and what is ephemeral. This is, if you come to know right away, you will become, because you will know that this is going to go. This situation, this party, which is, you know, I'm enjoying thoroughly. You must in your mind know it is going to end sometime. Maybe if not today, tomorrow, overnight, 2 days, 3 days, it is going to, because you know what, if party doesn't end, you will end. Your body is going to fall down, right? So it is going to end. So that discrimination, the stronger it becomes, the stronger will be the vairagya. Suddenly vairagya can, if you go on thinking that the world is real, no way vairagya is going to come. Because you think it's real. Enjoyment is real. Object is real. There is no way. So vivek has to be done. And for vivek, back we come to the mind, has to be purified. As the mind gets more and more and more, that's why purification of mind is extremely important in spiritual evolution. So when you reduce your likes and dislikes, and you take your pick, either you take bhakti, you do bhakti to the Lord, or you do karma yoga, that is your choice. How you purify the mind is your choice. What is purification? Is reduction of likes and dislikes. Every single thing you must say, I like this, I hate this. I like this, I hate. Aray Baba, chup-chup, khalo, whatever is there in front, you eat. What is there to say, I like, not like, no. Get rid of those things. So the mind, as it purifies, the discrimination will be stronger. Stronger the dispassion. So daily life, try to develop that. And what will help is, even this too shall pass, is a saying in spirituality. So know that whatever good situation has come and you're trying to indulge and enjoy and all, it is going to end. And therefore, same thing, bad, it will end. Don't think that the bad situation, because it's time. Time is flowing. That is the law of time. Time is passing. You cannot stop time. We would like to stop time in the good situation, and we would like to it to run faster in the sad situation, but neither is happening. Neither is it going fast, nor is it going to go slow. If you understand that, then, you know, don't get involved. That'll help. That'll really help.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I had a very special request to ask you guys, all of you. See, today we are on the 21st of October. 28th October, we have a class, no problem. Next Monday. And then 4th November also, there is a class, no problem. So we have got 2 Mondays. Now, 11th is a long weekend, and generally it would be a holiday. I am requesting that we have a class on the 11th. Okay, that's why I'm telling you right now, think about it. And I'm telling you why. 18th, I have to leave for India. I'm joining a camp in Sandipani. So 18th, I cannot take class. And what I think is, I think 4 sessions should be enough for me to complete 20. See, there are only 20 verses remaining. First verse is going to take a bit longer. Later on, it will go a bit faster. But I think 3.5 to 4, I don't want to leave that last bit and go away to India. So so please discuss amongst you. I don't see Abhimanyu here, and I don't know whether Ashok is there, but Chinmay Mission Calgary is there. Yeah. So you're there. So please ask everybody. So 11th, we have a class. Okay. And either I'll go a little bit over in class, depending on how much there is, or then I could take a class on Tuesday. Like, you know, that we'll have to play by ear. But of course, next two Mondays is 28 and 4, there's no problem. But if you can just send an email out to everybody. I'm sorry.
I think we should just take the class. And if some people can't make it, they can't make it. I mean, this is cooler season, so people are not out there, you know, away from homes and stuff like that. So it should be okay to take the class.
So is everybody okay with that? At least whoever is attending today. But can you please send an email out to think that there will be a class then? Because some of them, I think, I don't see. So they should know.
I'll get Ashok to send the email.
Yeah, out. If you can get Ashok to send the email to the thing that 11, there'll definitely be a class. And then on the 4th, I will see after two Mondays how much I have covered. That way, then I'll have an idea. I really don't want to, you know, it's like the elephant will go by and only the tail will remain. And then I'm coming back on the 12th of December. So chances are that I will start class in January after 18 November. So if we can just do like either a half a class or one class extra before I go, that way this chapter will be completed and then I'll feel better. Okay, so for my sake. Sure. Thank you. Please accommodate and please let everybody know. They should know, everybody. Okay, then it'll be their choice if they want to attend or not. But it shouldn't be like, oh, we didn't know there was a class. We thought it's a long weekend. Okay, so there will be class, guys, on 11th of November, Monday. The
long weekend, yeah.
Long weekend, okay. No further questions. I'll end the class and we shall meet next Monday. The next verse is now very important coming up. That's why I wanted to complete this portion today and then we'll start fresh next time. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harih Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harih Om. Thank you all. See you next Monday.